For the listeners, if you haven't tried it yet, Rotten Apple, it is time to go and try their incredible dishes, signature drinks, and on top of that, don't forget to order the JB&B banana bread. It is an experience that you will never forget.
It is an experience that you will never forget, he says. That's the Frenchman. Thank you, Julian. And thank you, listener, for being here. Happy New Year. Last time we saw each other was in November of 2018. What happened? I got sick in December. It was horrible. I had vertigo, which was the worst sickness I've ever experienced. It was like being seasick. I couldn't do anything. It was really debilitating. Anyway, it turned out to be an ear infection that I didn't know I had. And I got better after some antibiotics and a couple of weeks of rest. And now we're here. It's a new year. Thank you for being here. And thank you to Rotten Apple for supporting this episode. Rotten Apple is located between Mobile and Triple J Honda in Tumuning. And they're open for lunch and dinner. You can have a look at their menu on Facebook, and like the Frenchman said, you've got to try the JB&B, which is an acronym for Josie's Banana Nut Bread, because, fun fact, it's my recipe. It's true. Now I can be in your ears and in your belly. I'm taking over your body one section at a time. So thank you, Rotten Apple, for your support, and thank you, listener, for tuning in. Happy New Year. I wish you peace of mind and clarity in 2019, and I wish you joy always. And I hope you enjoy this conversation that I had with David, Brittany, and Donovan Flores.
I was about to say, we're in the pad, Vince Josie.
Hi.
Are we?
Oh, yeah. We're recording.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Happy Monday.
Happy Mondays.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. So, Brittany, I have known you your whole life. So, your grandma and my dad are brother and sister. Mm-hmm. So, you're my niece. And David, I've known you kind of like as long as I've known, as long as you've been with Brittany, because you come around to the family gathering sometime, mm-hmm. but we've never really had a conversation.
Right.
Huh? Now's the time.
Yeah. Now's the time. But I know you're with the fire department, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. How did you two meet? Who wants? Oh, yes.
I was already in the fire department, and Brittany was doing some work with the fire department. That's actually how we met, and she had assisted at a time with the group. We were planning our Christmas party.
Okay.
So we had a lot of interaction with the other members putting our Christmas party for the platoon together, and she was very
active and volunteering. Not really
active, but yeah, I guess you'd have to say active.
What do you mean, Brittany? You were working at the fire department?
As an intern, yeah.
Oh, as an intern. Mm. How long ago was this?
God, years ago. I even forgot.
12, 13 years?
No, long ago.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
long
you,
ago.
I think it's like 1775.
Wow, that is a long time ago.
When George Washington was crossing the Delaware.
So you would see her like around the fire station and, hey, what's up?
No, I was one of the coordinators of the Christmas party, the Christmas function that year.
Okay.
So we had to interact, besides collecting a lot of prizes and stuff for the Christmas party. Mm. She was...
It's hot in here.
Oh, it's hot now?
She was very active with that. With helping getting us stuff, solicitations, mm-hmm. being a part of the planning committee to put things together for that Christmas party. So that's how we met and we interacted. And then after the Christmas party, we kept in touch.
Like, did you ask her for her number or did she ask you for her number?
She asked me for my number.
Of course.
Of course, yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I did not.
So this was like, what, 10 years ago? Over 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
And then you guys started dating. And then how far into your relationship did you have DJ?
Immediately.
Oh.
It was, well.
2008.
2008 we had DJ.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And David, how long have you been with the fire department?
Me, over 28 years.
Okay.
28 years.
I'm ready for him to retire.
Soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me take that back. I was with GTA for over 7.5. I started my Guam employment with GTA Guam Telephone. Then I transferred to the fire department. And mm-hmm. since then, I've been with the fire department over 21 years.
So when did you start having health problems?
Not until the doctor told me.
2012.
No, 2013. I was in 2013.
And well, what were your symptoms?
Well, first, originally how it had started was I remember we had a pool day at PIC. And then after all day of swimming with the kids and the family, I came out of the water and I thought I had some fish food in my eye because I saw something like a turtle shell, a very small turtle shell, or, you know, like fish food. It's like it got stuck to my eyelid or something. So it kept bothering me for the whole week. I finally went and saw a doctor to find out that I had a detached retina. Being treated for that, of course, prior to surgery, and the surgeons come in from off island, from Hawaii, I had to do needle injections and some laser injections or laser treatment also. I got that at SDA. And while receiving that treatment, I need to get pre-op clearance for the surgery. So I went to see a cardiologist who did an EKG on me. And after he was done, he said, I need to see you in about a month or so. After you recuperate, I need to get you ready for open heart. Which, of course, well, I knew I didn't need open heart. Putting it all together, Brittany and my doctor, Dr. Leon Guerrero, they suggested I go to the Philippines to get a physical at St. Luke's Hospital. So immediately, once we arrived there, they put me under the all the cardio tests.
Mm-hmm.
Nuclear heart test, EKG, stress test, and I passed it. I passed all the tests. So, of course, I called my doctor immediately after receiving the results. This was about after a week, and told him my heart looks good, and he said the same thing. That's what you thought. I said, yeah, I know it's not my heart. And he says, while you're there, why don't you get a full executive checkup? So I did. After submitting my blood work and everything I needed to submit, within 3 days, Dr. Brian Cabral had given me a call. Because he was reviewing my records and said, I needed to get back to St. Luke's and I needed to see him urgently.
Oh, so you had gone to St. Luke's and then you came back?
No, we stayed there. We actually stayed there since we haven't been on a trip. So we said, why don't we stay there, get my executive, and spend like maybe a week of vacation just to go around and see something. So after we're done with the testing, that's when we decided just to take a break and just go around, and Dr. Brian Cabral called us. So after going back to see Dr. Brian Cabral, that's when he informed Britt and I that I basically had no kidney function, and I needed to be put onto dialysis immediately.
You thought originally that you needed open heart surgery because that's what the doctor told you.
Right.
But what was it about your heart that made Dr. Leon Guerrero tell you you needed open heart surgery?
Oh, no, it wasn't Dr. Leon Guerrero. It was the cardiologist. So when he told me that, I was already, I was certified advanced life support with the Guam Fire Department.
Uh-huh.
So we could do read the EKG.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing that what I saw. And at that time when he gave me the strip, is what it's called, that I saw that anything wrong was wrong with my heart. Except maybe my heartbeat was at 100 beats per minute.
Is that high?
That's pretty high.
Okay.
But other than that, there was nothing wrong showing any parts of the heart having any failure.
Mm.
And on top of that, he's telling me this without doing further tests, a stress test, an echogram, or anything of that nature. He just looked at my EKG and said, you need open heart, which to me already drew red flags.
So weird.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, we went to St. Luke's, and right when we landed the following day, I was already doing a consultation.
Mm-hmm.
They had already lined up what I needed to do. And every day, some days were like 2 tests in a day. But they lined up all my tests to test my heart. And after a week of testing, nothing was
wrong. Your heart was fine.
Mm-hmm. Right. So Dr. Leon Guerrero is the one who said, while you're there, you haven't done a physical. Why don't you just get yourself a full physical?
Mm-hmm.
So we had to meet with Select Care and told them, hey, can I do a physical before I leave? Which they arranged. We were able to get that done. And 3 days after that, I was supposed to get the results. I think it was 5 days later.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 days, Dr. Brian Cabral called us when we're out just going around the city. And he said, you need to come to my office immediately. I need to talk to you. So Britt and I went to see him. And when we went to see him, he just said, things don't look right from your test that you had done. And
basically gave the diagnosis to Dave. And he's like, you have chronic kidney disease. And he goes, he needs to be in dialysis immediately now.
So I went straight into dialysis.
Yeah, you're on vacation. Mm-hmm. You had DJ with you?
No.
No, you didn't. So no. DJ, you were with your grandma?
He was still with the adoption agency. No?
No, he was with my mom.
So you went into dialysis and...
I did 8 hours.
No, 6 hours.
No, the first thing, remember, they couldn't get my blood. It was black. So they gave me the first initial was for 7 hours.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And they did 7 hours and they had to keep giving me blood thinner because they couldn't get my blood to circulate.
Mm.
But prior to that, nothing. He had asked Britt, have I had any fainting spells? Have I had any times where I was just doing something and just collapsed on the floor or had seizures?
Oh, nothing? You had no episodes?
Nothing. I worked that, if I remember correctly, I worked that Friday at the fire station.
Mm.
I requested to leave early because we left Saturday morning. So right from my work, I went straight to the airport and jumped on a plane and went to the Philippines.
Mm.
So nothing. None of those. I was even riding my motorcycle to work at the time.
Oh, wow.
So I had no symptoms. He asked me if I was still urinating. Do I still sweat? Do I still defecate, which is taboo? Yeah. And I said, yes, I have that once a day. Of course, I sweat. We just got to eat lunch and I was sweating because I ate hot peppers.
Yeah.
And I urinate every day. So he goes, I don't know how you're doing that. You're not supposed to be having any of those functions.
So both kidneys were not functioning.
None. There was nothing.
And
they already had to recede.
Wow. So they found that out through the, because I think in an executive checkup, they do ultrasound on the internal organs, like the kidney, the liver, all that stuff. Is that what was one of the, I'm sure there's like a bunch
everything.
Of
things. Yeah, everything. Urine, they found high concentrations of protein. They did blood work to find out that the blood wasn't as clean as it should be. They did x-rays.
Just extensive work.
Right.
I mean, gosh, I can remember the day. It's just we were back to back from testing to testing. And I think with the following day, we got the results of what we needed to get done.
You did one round of dialysis, which was 8 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was the plan from the, you'd have to have it
that's
every
what
other
you
day?
Had to talk to Dr. Brian Cabral.
So initially with Dave is he had problems with his veins. Like his veins kept collapsing. So if you ever see his chest or you ever see, you'll see like plenty marks because he had catheters down his neck. He had everything. So there was
from
a
the
lot
dialysis?
Of, yeah, right. Because okay, because okay. They wanted us to put in, what is it called, a fistula?
So most dialysis patients get a fistula, which is inserted through the arm to hook up with their arteries. And that's how they do dialysis, through there. So since it's, I needed it immediately at the time because a fistula usually takes, I would say, 6 to 9 months to really latch itself on where it's usable. It's not an immediate use. They had to do dialysis, so they did what's called a chest catheter.
But we made a decision that we didn't want the fistula because once that fistula is in, you're basically limited to a lot of things. Like if you hit it, like that's it, you know? Mm. And I said, no, let's try this. Let's try the catheter on his chest and in his neck.
Mm-hmm.
I said, once we get that, I told him that I said, my goal was to get you back to work. Like you're not going to stick with that fistula. And so since then, he was doing like, I don't know how many, almost four times a week on dialysis.
Wow,
four
that's
times.
A lot.
Four. It went from 3 to 4.
Is somebody at the door?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so my dad had, you weren't diabetic, right?
Yes.
You were prior to...
That's where I was diagnosed with a lot of things. So
we
had asked Dr. Cabral, how did this happen? If I wasn't showing any signs or symptoms, my skin wasn't even discolored. Nothing, everything seemed normal. And
it wasn't that you didn't. It's that if I look at you every day, I'm not going to me, I would like notice. But we took a picture the day we arrived in St. Luke's. And his eyes, and I never noticed we took a picture. His eyes were like dark black over here and he was really skinny. But the only thing was, is his feet was swollen.
So it started to swell.
That's when he was starting to swell. I think the day before, even when we arrived in the Philippines. So I still have that picture because I'm like, oh my God, I look at this guy every day, but I didn't even notice.
Right, right.
Anything,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I started to have what's called pedal edema. It's retention of the fluid to your legs.
So yes, he did have the discoloration where it's like almost, I wouldn't want to say it, like a dead corpse. Like at that one point, I'm like, oh my gosh, you look like a dead corpse because he was like gray.
That was after the day.
No, that was the day of.
We had tested and he told me that when we're downstairs in St. Luke. And I said, well, thanks for being positive.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you said that prior to the testing. It was the day that we had done the test that you said, you know, you look different.
I'm but like, you didn't find any of this out, none of your health concerns, they all came out when you went to St. Luke's.
Right. And right. You know, one of the hardest things with anybody who's in healthcare, nurses, firefighters, sometimes we're the most stubbornest people. Of course, firefighters here, they work a 24-hour shift. Stress levels are very high in any capacity that you work in the fire department. You know, it gets high. So my thing was, if I work at 8, I'm usually at work by 6, 6:30 in the morning. And if we get off at 8 the next day, I don't usually get off till 8:30, 9, sometimes 10. And then, of course, drive home, rest a couple of hours, and get ready to go check on DJ or do what I need to do around the house or make sure the errands are done because we're gone for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And then before you know it, it's the end of the day. It's go back to sleep, and I'll wake up early in the morning. I'm already on the road by 4:30, 5 o'clock mm-hmm. on the motorcycle to go to work because I was working at Agate Fire Station. And then when I started to have those symptoms where I had my eye surgeries when I moved into the office.
I see.
Right, because my eye was the one that was giving me the initial problem. But even then, they did blood work. They did urine here. They didn't find anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the day that I did dialysis, we had asked Dr. Brian Cabral, what's the depth of my kidney failure? And he said, well, with no dialysis, within 6 months is probably the best I could live. That's with no dialysis. My body was already toxic.
Wow.
As they put it in their terms. If I did dialysis on Guam, because he has a lot of patients from Guam and he is aware of the dialysis here and they only give 3 hours. I don't know why. I've always asked that even when I was a medic, why do they only give 3 hours here? 3 hours. You'd be lucky if you can get 50% of your blood clean, because that's what dialysis is supposed to do.
Yeah.
It takes your dirty blood. It takes all those toxins within your body, and it cleans out your blood system.
Mm-hmm.
And look, for me, I was doing on a regular day 6 hours. But because my body was toxic, I was doing it from 3 days to 4 days a week.
So here in Guam, you're limited to just 3 hours per day?
And that's the doctor. And right. So the difference that I
think it changed now. I think now they upped it. But okay. I think it's not as strict as it is
I still think it's far off because,
yeah.
And I only experienced dialysis in the Philippines as a patient.
Mm-hmm.
I've experienced dialysis here as a medic where I pick up patients, I transport them home or take them to dialysis centers. In the Philippines, Dr. Cabral would do blood work once a week, sometimes twice in a week, depending on how your culture is. And he would say, okay, today you're not that bad off. We're going to go ahead and stick with the 6 hours or, You're getting more toxic, maybe because of what you're eating, we'll do 7 hours. So he would adjust it according to my blood work.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Here it's, well, you talk to the patients and everyone says, well, I'm Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or I'm Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And their time is their time and they only have 3 hours.
And so, they don't do the blood work.
I don't think so.
Yeah. But it seems like it's a regular routine. Well, wow. If I show up an hour late, I only got 2 hours left.
Mm.
And Dr. Cabral said, if you go to Guam and that's all they give you, you're only going to... That's okay.
They're replacing... Of all days, they're replacing this... Okay, so yesterday, they were going to replace the AC in the bedroom. And my landlord said, oh, the guy is coming at 5:30. Like, okay, that's fine. And the guy shows up at 1:30. Like, okay, that's fine. Just get it fixed, right? So today, the landlord says, what time is good? And I'm like, okay, anytime between 2 and like 4:30. Anytime before that, anytime after that. So the guy knocks on the door this morning at 9. He goes, is it okay if I come at 2:30? I'm like, okay, that's fine. Just get it fixed. So there's going to be a little bit of noise in the background, but oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Okay.
It's workable.
Yeah. So I'm just thinking like what you said, if it is still limited here in Guam at 3 hours, what do those people, does that mean they just have to keep going more often?
Because
I wouldn't say it would be, I know somebody who's currently on dialysis and, I see this person every day and they do now do more hours.
Okay.
But my thing is I don't think they're strict as it is anywhere else in a sense where, gosh, how can I say this? If Dave was cramping on the machine, all they have to do is lower
to turn down.
And he would still stay on the machine, like you had to take that pain,
Yeah.
They're not going to take you off just because you're cramping. And from what I hear is if you're cramping or you're hurting, you tell them to take it off, they'll take it off.
Oh, but you're saying like at St. Luke's, like, you just have to deal with
you
it.
You deal with it, but they will help you try and.
Okay.
Because I was by his side and if he's cramping, he's like, massage me. And I'm like, my God, I have to massage.
The term they use in dialysis is pulling.
Okay.
It's the word pulling. So when they pull, and I was doing dialysis. I was doing dialysis at St. Luke's.
Okay,
Okay. And they would pull.
I'm so sorry. Okay. This is like, oh my God. Okay.
That actually sounds like what the sounds are. No, those are the sounds when you do dialysis. That's when they're hooking up the machine and they're trying to crank you.
So 6 months, they gave the doctor's diagnosis was 6 months to live without dialysis. Mm-hmm. And then what was the alternative? It was to do dialysis for the rest of your life for three times a week?
I wanted to come back to Guam. Of course, being away from our family and being hit with that type of news and knowing that when you're on dialysis, you're depending on how you are, your time is very limited. So I wanted to come home. He says, well, you can go home and that's your option. But with the dialysis there, you're probably going to live a year at best.
Wow. So at this point, how long had you been in the Philippines?
We were only there 3 weeks.
We were there, 3 weeks.
We didn't even get visas. We were only supposed to take a 3-week, whatever time they needed to do testing. Mm-hmm. And then spend a little vacation of whatever time we had left and come back.
I see. Okay. So you had planned on being there for 3 weeks, right, whether or not you were in the hospital. Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Cabral said, but if you stay here and let me take care of you, treat you and do what I need to do until we're able to find some, I can give you the best 2 years tops. I can get you to 2 years of living tops.
With dialysis
there.
2 years.
But the thing was it wasn't just at that point when he was already on dialysis, then there was like, that's when the real problem started coming because he was like, oh, David, and it's not from any doctor, but how would I say this? He was just having problems after problems. Like, okay, he has to get a stent. That's when all these other things started coming about. So every time we thought we were stable to at least fly back home, something happened. Again.
To delay.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. So we opted to stay there. Mm-hmm. That's where she was asking. We opted to stay there as long as we possibly could and get treated by Dr. Brian Cabral. Mm-hmm. So I called home. My brother, the family got word and my brother said, I'm going to fly out. I'm going to get tested and I'll give you my kidney. So I didn't know. Well, my brother did come out and we met and I didn't know that when he went to go get tested because Brittany's doing all the legwork. Mm-hmm. I'm receiving dialysis at the time. So I'm out for 6 hours. So she would be taking him around and I didn't know that she had gotten tested, that she wanted to take the test also.
Okay. So backing up, when did your doctor talk about getting a donor?
Well, that's
when he decided,
not a donor, but a transplant.
He gave us all the scenarios. When we asked him, so what are we looking at? He gave us a short term, midterm and long term. And the ultimate goal was to get a kidney transplant.
Okay.
So he laid that all out.
Okay.
So,
and then were you put on a transplant list?
No.
Not at that time?
No. Okay. It was to find a donor. Because in the Philippines, there's a lot of laws, too, that go along with it. Mm-hmm. So as an immediate, well, we got a kidney, here you go, you can take it.
Right.
There's a lot of laws. So we had to keep things simple and do the treatment first. Mm-hmm. And then that's when my brother messaged. And then Britt went and got tested beyond me even knowing. So maybe after the first week, 2 weeks of receiving treatment, that's when he came back and he had told us that he said, you're lucky, we're able to find matches for you.
So your brother was not a match?
My brother was a match.
Your brother was a match.
So I only knew that he got tested. So he goes, so just to let you know, and the good news, this great news is you actually have two people that are a match for you. So I'm thinking, my brother, who's the other one? And that's when he told me that Brittany was also a match.
Brittany, you got tested and you didn't even tell anybody, right?
No. Oh, well, actually, no, I did tell my mom.
What did your mom say? I can just imagine your mom was like, hell no.
No. In the beginning, my mom was like, are you sure? Because she goes, you know, Brita, you think on the whim, like, you know. And of course, but my mom was just, think about it, you know, but she goes, I'll support you, you know, she always says, think of your son, DJ, and so forth. So of course we did the research and everything. And, he was asleep when I did the swabbing and all these other things. And you can live a long life with just one kidney. They told me you can live a healthy, act normal. And once they told
me. How old were you at the time when this was all going down?
I'm 29, right? I'm
28,
27.
You're kind of old.
Wait.
Oh, you hush your mouth.
So 3 years ago, I was 26.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now you had two kidneys, your brother's kidney and Brittany's kidney.
Mm-hmm.
What did you decide to do?
Well, eventually, initially, was for my brother to be a transplant donor. So with that being known, Dr. Brian Cabral had set up a plan for him to meet or to better off the chances for the transplant for both of us, him and my brother and myself. And he gave us some time. And within that time that we're getting ready for the transplant, that's when on St. Luke's side, they make sure that your whole body and all your systems, quote unquote, are working. And that's when he said, okay, so I had to go see a cardiologist. I had to go see other specialty physicians to make sure that everything was checking off.
You did. You had to go.
We had
to go. Or your brother.
No, just me.
Oh, just you.
On my side. So Dr. Sinadrin, who was our cardiologist, she already had the test results from my test exam. But to better my chances, they wanted to give me angioplasty times two. So they did an angiogram. And that's when I went in and they had to put two stents in my heart.
Okay.
To make sure that my heart would be strong enough to last the surgery. So during the 6 months that I would be recuperating, my brother needed to take care of things on his end.
What did your brother need to do?
Change his diet. Of course, all Chamorros are physically fit. So he needed to...
Just a basic, to me, from what I remember, was just like an executive checkup. You always want to get those straight A's, right? So in order for Joe is... to do a checkup and make sure that he is the straight A, you know.
Right.
But
right.
Of course, they wanted, like they said, they want to make sure that your body is.
How old is your brother?
He's 10 years older than me.
So he's older than you.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I always say that they're adopted because they're not as handsome as I am. So.
I'm trying to get from like where your brother's going through all of this preparation. You are also going through this. So now we're like, you're saying it was like a 6 month period.
Right.
So now we're like 7 months into it, including the time that you did your executive checkup mm-hmm. and initially found mm-hmm. out all of that stuff right. that was going on. So at the end of the 7th month, what happened?
So he had to come back and did some tests. And Dr. Cabral said, once again, he had given us a call. I need to see you guys again. So he gave my brother his news. And then he called me and Brett into a room and he gave us our news saying he highly recommends that I don't go with my brother because within a year or less, he would be in my place.
Whoa. Because of family
right.
history. Like yeah. it all goes back wow. to the genes.
To my mom and my dad.
That's, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. you know, of course, knowing my brother and the love I have for him and his family, he has grandchildren. He has kids too that mm-hmm. are young. So I said, you know, doc, without a doubt, I'm not even going to question.
Correct.
You know, so he felt bad. You know, he's like, man, you know, bro, I said, no, you know, you got to look at it this way. You got to live for your
gosh, children. I remember that. We were crying.
Right.
We're like, said, oh, this is
sure. Yeah. This is like a, you gotta live this is like a lifetime movie, you guys. Yeah,
said, you got to live for your kids, you know, love his kids so much. And yeah. your grandchildren, they're young. They yeah. need papa to be around.
And he was like, I want to go home. I said, no, you know, yeah. we were arguing. I said, no, we're not giving up. We've come this far.
Wait, so you guys were in Manila this whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You did not come. Home. You never came home.
No. Never came home.
So you were on leave from both. Were taking mm-hmm. leave from work.
Right.
Then, Britt, you were not working at the fire department anymore.
No. I was.
That was already long over.
Oh. So because we're not married, FMLA does not mm-hmm. count for me. So I had to give up a lot of things,
mm-hmm.
you know, work-wise.
Driving to work, going out at night.
No.
Drinking alcohol.
Party. No,
man, the sacrifice.
I'm just joking. I know the hardship. Drinking.
No, I had to sacrifice a lot of things too, work-wise. And then, you know, of course, leaving him
sure.
behind. So,
because you guys hadn't seen your son in over 6 months.
Yes.
In like half a
so
year.
So far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when it came for that period, when we found out the news, of course, he's like, I want to go home. And I'm like, no,
yeah,
we've come this far. We have another solution. Me. And so that's where it was Christmas time, the holidays. And
we argued a little bit because I told her, you know what? You're young. DJ's young. DJ's mm-hmm. really young. I said, no, I don't want to jeopardize you.
But that's where the insurance from Dr. Cabral, you know, like I said, they did so much research and they've brought me speaking to people who were organ donors and they sometimes can even live a longer life than a person with two kidneys. So it's like anybody can be a donor to in their eyes.
Right. And I don't want it.
Yeah.
I didn't want it. I just wanted to come home.
He didn't. I don't know. He didn't want it.
I literally said, you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, mentally, were you just checked out, Dave? Like, you were just accepting?
I already accepted. You know, I always, I'm no priest. I'm no holy guy by any chance. But my thing is, you know, this what God wants, and then I accept it. I want to spend the rest, whatever time, if it's under 6 months, I want to be with my kids. I want to be home. And I even told her that I want to go home. I want to smell my island. I want to see the beaches. I want to see my, and that's one of the things I love, sunrises and sunsets. I said, I want to see it home. I want to go home.
Yeah.
She's the one who's saying no. I said, no, then that's your decision because I want to go home.
I mean, but when you talk about the risks, I mean, you're saying like they did so much research and they're assuring you, but there's still a risk, realistically, right? Because even if you have the perfect kidney, there's a chance that his body won't take it. And there's a chance that some complication goes on during your part of the procedure and your body. I can see like the risk is huge.
Yes.
And so.
And I wasn't willing to take that. I wanted, I wanted her to be around for him.
Yeah, I totally see where you're coming from, because what are the odds? Losing one parent or losing both parents?
And I don't want to be blamed. No, really, and this is what we're talking about. I said, you know, if anything happens to you, I don't want my son looking at me, and I'm the one who's older, I'm the one with the health issue. I don't want him to say, you know, my mom's not here because of you. So that's what I had to bear.
Yeah, these are real fears, right? And things that you do think about, and so it's an honest...
Right.
He's being, you know, it's an, it's an honest assessment of what you imagine. When you imagine the worst, those are some of the worst thing case scenarios.
I think
that's
the only positive ever thing I ever thought of, because I'm very negative, and he knows that.
Very.
But I think at that moment, I was really just like my mom said, strong. Like I just kept, let's do this.
Yeah.
You know,
no,
I just kept moving forward. Really, and every time we moved forward, there was something like dropping us backwards, and like, no, poop, keep on, move forward. And yes, there was risk. And matter of fact, I think one doctor goes, before he puts me on, you know, whatever, long story short, he's like, oh my gosh, I wouldn't do what you're doing. I'm like, huh? What? And I just, but it's like, you have different, you know, different views and a lot of things. And there are other, to me, organ donors out there who are living. I don't know. I mean, I want to promote it. I mean, dialysis shouldn't be your last resort in anybody's.
No, and that's not where we're going with this.
No, I know.
What it is telling what we had gone through and where we are at that point. We're not.
But I didn't want to. Remember,
just keep jumping to the happy story.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I didn't want dialysis to be your last.
Right. And then that's what I said. If Joe couldn't be my donor, I don't want you to be the donor. I want to go home. I want to come home. And I was wholehearted. I even told you, you're like, why are you being so stubborn? She would tell me, why are you being so fucking stubborn? I said, I'm not. I mean, me in my medical capacity, I'm telling her. I said, then who's going to be there for DJ?
Right. No, I totally see where you're coming from, Dave. Right.
And she's just being stubborn and saying, no, you know, and that's our whole basis. I always tell her, when I say something or I feel something or I try to plan something, I said, why is it that you always challenge me?
Because she's a strong Chamorro woman. Hello.
Right. But sometimes strong Chamorro women get in trouble when they need that strong Chamorro man to back them up when they don't need to be there. So, no, but she's right.
Excuse me.
No, so she's right. She said, you know, no, you're not going to give up. Then I gave her, she said, you know what? Then I don't want to be a part of that. I told you so, or I forced you to. You make your own decisions. I'm going to do whatever his plan is upstairs, and whatever you want to do together, then we're going to do it.
And Brittany, there was never any moment of doubt that that's what you wanted to do.
No.
Ever.
No doubt. That's what I'm saying. It was the most strangest thing, because I'm so negative in a lot of things, but I was so positive throughout the whole thing.
So then you guys had, so once you decided, once Brittany decided and once you, Dave, accepted that that's what she was going to do. So
there's still other obstacles before you got there, because SelectCare only allows you to test one donor per physical year.
Oh man!
So we had already used that on my brother.
Sure.
So you know we're like, oh. And Dr.
What are we
Brown,
talking about in terms of cost here?
Gosh,
by now, I mean to test
that was already $10,000-$12,000
just to do the testing.
Costly.
Yeah.
We were trying
to figure
out. In
the Philippines, can you imagine how much that would cost here?
Exactly. So we kind of,
I remember there were fundraisers and things going on here.
There was, there was a lot of, initially, because you have, Gov Guam, you have to make your, what is it, deductible, and you have to, I mean, it was a lot of, how do I say this? Just a lot of obstacles that we had to do. Some doesn't cover the insurance, so we had to pay for that. And yeah. Just.
And even our testing.
My testing was not covered. So
you guys had to pay for that out of pocket.
Yes.
Yes. But the good thing was, like, Dr. Cabral, I mean, they're not just, you know, we love Dr. Cabral. Because even at that, we're like, you know, doc, we already use this and this, and everything's out of pocket. We just don't have that.
Yeah.
You know, the families are doing what they can to really help us out and pull strong for us. And not only family, but really some true friends that really went out of their way to make mm-hmm. things happen for us. Mm-hmm. But he goes, you know what? Did she ever do a full physical? We're like, no. He's like, well, hey, you know what? That's about 60% of the test. Mm-hmm. So I was like, really? He goes, yeah, that'll take care of this. And he started going down. He goes, okay, so let's say the exaggerated amount, $10,000, $12,000 for testing, or $10,000, actually will only come down to like $3,000. Mm-hmm. Because most of it he'll put down for her executive checkup.
Wow.
So Dr. Bra wasn't always just there to help me, but he helped us trying to find a way to make it. He didn't give up on me, even though he said we're financially strapped, even though he says, come on, you can do this. I'll help you. So we were able to do that to get her testing done. And so that went from she's positive for a donor to, yes, the chances are even greater now, greater by percentage-wise. And we just need to make sure she was already where she needed to be. I think she needed
to be. So was that like another six months now, no. again, of that period yeah. of waiting or that time of prepping?
Mm-hmm. That was within.
Within that.
And okay. And when the time that she... it changed from a brother to her to be a donor. It only took 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks, to how long?
Four
weeks.
For what?
No, when, okay, Jill can't be a donor. We did your testing. We found out that you could be tested.
I didn't do my testing until May.
Right.
So that was already 6 months from the time we knew his brother.
So another 6 months had passed. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, you're still doing dialysis, what, 3 times a week?
Four
times a week. And are you maintaining the way you were? Like your body is just maintaining that same level that you were from the beginning, or are you like deteriorating at this point? Is it getting worse? No. Like while you're waiting, going through that. No. That's like a whole year now.
It was the same. It's just he had so many different, like it said, it wasn't just necessarily.
The body may not only maintain and did get better with the dialysis treatments I was receiving there, because they, like I said, they gave me so many hours to make sure that I was almost back to ground zero.
So you were in better shape than you were.
Yes, but some days there were days where I would severely cramp up.
No. For the 6 months that we were waiting, you know, mm-hmm. He had issues, you know, and it wasn't just dialysis. He's had multiple surgeries, and it was just for different things that were happening to him, you know. And I counted, he had a total from the time we arrived in August to May, he had 13 surgeries.
Holy cow.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't just the dialysis. It's every time we were a step ahead of what we needed to get done to get home, something happened. It was either
what kind of surgeries are we talking about?
So
I'm going to show you really quick.
Hey, that's abuse. I'll call the cops.
Put on a shirt, guy.
Really quick. So you see, Auntie Josie, all these things. It's just imagine from one thing that they couldn't do dialysis correctly, they have to pull it out. Then they have to find another one. Mm. So it was just not only then, and then he had stents done. Then that's when he was again diagnosed with another thing. It wasn't from now kidneys. Now it was, it's another something disease or something. I couldn't remember. It was on one of those fundraisers we were doing. So
anti-Britney disease.
So not necessarily we were back there because of dialysis. It's just every time we were trying to finish something to get ready for the.
Sorry, hold on.
That is a Mikasa hammer drill. 3H drive, 110 volt power. That's for the hinges.
Thank you. I like the commentary. So what did you have to do, Britt? What did you have to do to prepare to give David your kidney?
I did a blood work. I did x-rays. I did, your analysis. I did nuclear something.
Like, did you have to go vegetarian for 6 months? No,
in order to have an easy recovery, but a faster recovery, because technically it would have only been me at the end. I had to prep your body. In any surgery, you had to prep your body for the surgery. So I was given a good month or two to just get healthy.
To better your chances.
To better my chances of recovering faster. Because in the end, I would be the one to take care of him, after our surgery, because he had to.
That was the time you were locking me in the closet. You're not allowed to come out here anymore. Stay in there.
Just a lot of blood work, and it was fast. It went by fast. What took me 2 days, 3 days, and I was done with my testing. I was fast. My testing for me to prepare for the surgery was only 3 days.
Every test,
but
she
what
did,
took
she was
longer
just checking
for me to get to that 3 days is the financial part. We didn't have the money to prepare for the surgery.
And it's not like you could do the surgery and pay it back in installments.
Correct. Yeah. Everything has to be paid before. Upfront, so we totally understand now that when people go to St. Luke's, I feel so sorry for them because they're paying for so many things.
And it's not bad. It just makes sense. And I even told her it's a good practice, because how many people would take advantage of such a great service that St. Mm-hmm. Luke's has provided, and they just split because they're healthy and they never pay off their debt.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah.
Right. So that was one of the obstacles. The other obstacle we faced was not even to do with medical. It had to do with their executive board, transplant board.
Oh, we had to go to a board.
Right. There's a board that they have called a transplant board.
To approve
the transplant.
And so what did
so
they say?
That's where we really got shown, Philippines, their laws pertaining to transplants. So the first nail against us was we weren't married.
We weren't married.
Second nail against us was we were not related, because usually it's a transplant option is usually best your family member. So we weren't married. We weren't family members. Three is we didn't have any Filipino, or we're not Filipinos. So that was the third one. And the fourth one was what is it that, I guess, our background, the biography of our relationship. Because they don't see that boyfriend and girlfriend or common-law in the Philippines is anything.
Even though you have a child together.
Even though. Doesn't matter.
Well, see, DJ was never... DJ didn't come around till Christmas. You know what I mean? So it's like...
I'm talking about the hardships.
Yeah.
From the hospital.
Oh, what the board was taking into consideration.
Right.
Yeah. You're not married. So, you're not related. Yeah. But I'm like, you have a kid together, so they didn't take that into consideration?
No. Where it came from was the outreach of... she had to get letters... people vouching for who she was, right?
Yeah, basically.
And on our behalf, our doctor, and not only our doctor, but our nurses, wrote letters on our behalf, right?
No, it was family members, people who knew us.
Right, yeah. Had wrote and submitted to them. Mm-hmm. And our physicians did speak to the board.
Yeah, to ask is, am I selling my kidney to him? I was like, oh, no, I'm not.
Right.
Oh. So it was
and to
that
find
kind
out
of
if,
thing.
And to find out if we really were true as people who we say we are. So we had people vouching for us out there, as well as letters from home. They say you can provide billing with both your names on it. Mm-hmm. No, all the billing's under my name. Mm-hmm. Her name's not out. So we couldn't produce a billing statement saying David Flores and Brittany Lozama.
Mm-hmm. It had to be one name.
Be both our names on the billing. Oh. We didn't have anything.
Oh, but they didn't have a system in place that would allow two names.
All right. So even with all those negatives, we hit another wall. And I guess with everybody's support, letters, and like I said, the staff speaking on our behalf, they called us up and they, the president, right?
No.
Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Chairman.
The chairman of the board.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Gave us his blessing and approval that we could go ahead with the transplant.
Stand by. I'm so sorry. This is so ridiculous. I'm so sorry.
All that just for pancakes.
I feel like
someone's got to buy a new mixer.
I feel like we're in an operating room.
Okay. So at this point, you were tested.
Mm-hmm.
and you passed all the tests, you're good to go, but now you're waiting for the board to approve, you're waiting to raise money. And so by now, how much time had passed? It's been over a year. It's been what?
A month.
Okay, so a year and a month.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, no, no.
You didn't throw her off with the, your math. Oh. This is already in the 6 months.
I feel like they're going to be done this minute now, yeah. Right?
This is kind of like 6.5 months. All of what you were saying when she said 6 months, mm-hmm. all that happened during the 6 months.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
we
okay.
were, this is about 6.5 months already. Because after that, that we had started in May with the blessing of the council, and we would just say, we'll just go ahead with the transplant. And things fell on
May 15.
Yeah, see, this is the type of game she plays. Oh, no, the bank account only has $200. I said, I know there was $500. No, it's only $200. See, that women manipulation. So, yes, May 15, 2015.
So is that a year and a half, 2 years from the time that you initially got there?
No, it was still within the first year.
First year, first so year, 1 year. Yeah, year. Yeah. Oh, I
yeah.
see.
Yeah, we were back there for a total of, I was back there for a total of 1 year.
Okay, okay.
She was back there for...
I came home early.
She came home a month early.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They
wanted to see me.
How and how did you raise the money?
We did a GoFundMe.
Okay.
So we did. I did a GoFundMe because I was right at the point of like everybody has done so much. You know, they legwork with bar fundraisers.
You never
and car
told me
washes.
That.
And our friend Joan Charferis, mm-hmm. she aired it on KUAM, and within a day or two,
you reached the goal.
I reached my goal.
That's amazing. What was the goal?
$5,000.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And
so you had paid everything out of pocket, and mm-hmm. you just needed that last $5,000. Mm-hmm. To
mm-hmm.
wow,
and it, she made it happen.
Expensive to
get
a market.
yeah, and that's what that pushed. One of the things that pushed the fundraisers and the transplant faster.
So then now you got the money, you got the approval, you're good to go. You go in for this. Did your mom fly out for the surgery?
No.
Okay.
Nobody.
It was just the two of us.
Just the two of us.
Just the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long did the surgery take?
About 2 hours. No. 2 hours.
No. Two each?
Oh, wait, two?
Because they had to get the kidney
yeah,
out of
two.
You.
So two for me.
So you
I got
first.
Out first.
Yeah.
Then he did because I remember I got in recovery and I woke up and all I asked is, he okay? And they said, ma'am.
That's what they said. You see all that hammering? That's what they said.
You know, I woke up and they said, Mr. Flores is fine. He urinated. He peed. But prior to that, or no.
Is
yes.
that like a thing? Like they're waiting for you to pee?
No,
so.
It's part of the procedure. So how the procedure works is they take her in first. And initially we saw each other before we both went in, before she went in.
Were you passing each other in the hall in the beds as you were being
No,
healed?
I wasn't. We actually,
and then you reach out for the high five, like, all right, tag team, I'm done.
No, I told the nurses,
Gabe.
If you see her, hey, just stop, cover me with a blanket or something. She's still going to talk to me like she wants something.
It was surgery day, and they prepped us early in the morning, and we both came in. He came into my room.
Mm-hmm. They didn't put you guys in the same room?
No.
What?
Because she has a lot of germs. I'm already sterile.
No, his room, they had to prep his room because he had to stay in there. He could not come out for 7 days.
Yeah.
I could have came out.
The reason
out.
Why we're in mm-hmm. separated rooms is since I'm the recipient, there's a whole bunch of things and pills and stuff that they got to get me through before I even go into surgery. Her, it's, I don't know what they did.
Nothing.
She just, all they said was they're going to take her, mm-hmm. was it at 5 in the morning?
Yeah.
I said, okay, I'm going to go and see your side.
I didn't need any special things in my room. It was just him because going back again, they just informed us that he is going to be in confinement, no visitors.
So you don't like catch any germs or any like infection? Mm-hmm. Well, you need to be...
Matter of fact, the day they gave me dialysis, they actually put me in an isolation room.
Mm-hmm.
And my party and... His boyfriend, co-worker came and they visited me in isolation. And that was, after that, it was from there straight into my room. outside of, we even planned, I'll do my last dialysis. I'm done. We'll go eat lunch. Go smoke some joints or something. And then we'll go to surgery. Because I had to turn myself in. I didn't know that when I turned myself in, that was it. I wasn't going to see her.
So you guys didn't get to say bye to each other before you...
I did. Well, yes, only before she went in.
Yeah.
Because once they put me in isolation, during that dialysis, my last dialysis, like I said, it was from right there to even the check-in people were coming in. Okay, sign here. You're going to this room. And I'm like, hey, did you guys tell Brit I was supposed to go to lunch, smoke break or something? But nothing. It was straight from there to a hospital room and it was isolated. Wow. To prep me, already starting to prep me for the next day. Eating this, drinking that, take this pill.
Oh, I see.
You know, you need to use this for the bathroom and basically everything. So.
And then, so you went first, Brit, for this. Were you scared?
No, I wasn't actually.
Yes, yes.
No, I
they
wasn't.
They strapped her down.
I didn't have much time to soak it in what's about to happen, because I was so busy prepping us, making sure that our place was sanitized, everything. I just had so much things to do.
Sorry, hold on. You didn't really have time to think about it because you were so
about
busy.
It.
Okay.
It wasn't, like I said, now it goes back to what I said earlier. When the doctor was about to put me to sleep, the last thing I remember he told me was, you're a hero, because I wouldn't do what you're doing. And I just like fell asleep. And that was the last thing I remember.
Before surgery.
And so surgery went by quick.
Did you have any, did you see a light at the, in
no.
the tunnel?
No.
Any out of body experience?
No, I actually was good. They
she
said I was very good. My incision was supposed to be really small. When they ended up having to cut me a little bit more bigger. I mean, it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen my scar, but.
No. Oh, okay. It's on the side.
It's on the left
and,
side.
Wait, sure. And then this part is, they were careful because her brain's like right here. They don't want to cut the vital organ.
No, because my kidney was huge. I thought they said it's,
you got a big ass kidney.
Yeah.
So medically, on the medical side, I even had to tell her, I said, you know, medical side, you got to understand what a blessing that is, because in the male anatomy and the female anatomy, female organs are a high percentage smaller than men. They're petite than men. So and my size and mass, so I'm like 6'5" and she's like 4'3", like a Chinese woman. No, so when they cut her open, they were amazed at how big her kidney was.
Mm.
That it was.
Do you get sick easily to look at stuff?
It's big enough.
No.
Her kidney's big enough for my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's big.
Her kidney was.
That's one kidney. Mm-hmm.
That's one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
That's how big it was.
That's the one over at Market.
Wow, it looks so clean and fresh too, like that, like healthy kidney.
Okay, so you see the hammering he was doing? That, that's where they had to chisel out all that bad stuff.
So
her kidney was way bigger
than what they expected,
and it was made for my body,
made for his body.
They even said that.
Dang,
so
guys.
To show how the kidney transplant goes through, and this is from what, of course, I wasn't awake when they did this, but how they told me, they prep her. And when they're almost done with her, I hate to put it in those words, and they remove her kidney, I'm already getting wheeled in and prepped to, because they don't want to keep the kidney out.
Of course.
Too long.
Of course.
So they wheel me in. They.
They had already cut you open?
No.
Like, or the timing?
No, I'm imagining. Them, I was like, showing them where to put it.
Oh.
So.
I want it on my right side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they brought me in. They got me ready. They opened me up. And when they take the kidney, they put the kidney, they attach it.
And they said he immediately urinated.
Yeah. So what is supposed to happen is the first sign that they look for in the transplant is that the kidney changes. You saw the color.
Yeah.
The kidney changes red to show that it's accepting the blood. Okay. That's the first thing. The second thing is after it accepts the blood, they want to see circulation. And then they want to see you urinate. And when you urinate is the completion basically of the process of the transplant. So they took her kidney and they put it on. And you know, they don't know. They're not saying, hey, we got to give it like 2 hours or 10 minutes. They just don't know. It's when your body accepts it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they put it on and immediately it started to turn red, accepting the blood, and the circulation was going through. And to their surprise, it was, like they said, almost immediately that once they were done, I instantly or immediately started to urinate.
That's amazing.
So
That's amazing.
The surgeons and the team, they had a little fiesta celebration that was complete. And then they decided to, after they drank a few, they decided to close me up, leaving some jagged edges. And, no, they did a great job.
And so do you have a scar like Brittany's on your...
Mine is on my shoulder. No. So most people don't understand. So if I could try and best show them, not in a medical way, on the bottom part of your rib cage where it bevels down to your bones, your kidneys are about that high. You know, about that high. Okay. Just to give you a picture.
And I always thought they were like in the like lower back area.
Right. So they're right back here. So okay. mid back.
Oh, okay.
So your bladder is right above your or where your pelvic bone's at to see how far that is. So where they put the kidneys, right there above the bladder. It's
so his kidneys in the front.
Yeah, it's in the front and on the lower abdominal muscle. And it's a short vein or stent that connects the two. And I'll tell you the process of that later, but it's closer to the bladder now.
Oh, so your kidney's not where it would normally be.
My kidneys, yes, my kidneys are still there. But they shriveled up already to...
Oh, prunes. So they didn't take yours out?
No.
They're still in there.
The body's perfect, just leave it the way it is.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're shriveled. They've receded to almost prunes or prune size or smaller. But they don't remove it. Where they take her kidneys, they attach it to, here goes a medical term, one of the femoral arteries.
Femoral
arteries, which run down here from your hips down, and they choose the best flowing femoral artery. So mine was on my left side. So my kidney or Britt's kidney, well, no, it's mine. I took it.
Yeah.
It's on the lower left side.
Lower left side.
Yes.
Okay. So you have three kidneys, technically.
Mm-hmm. And I got one.
And Brittany has one.
Yeah. Well, I always have to provide for her, so.
I just thought it was, I learned something new today. It's just, I'm so surprised that they don't take out the useless kidneys.
Well, I don't know about other people. Doc said that you have a perfect, everything about you is perfect. We'll leave it there. I'll keep it. No worries. Okay. Oh, and that's what I thought too. I didn't know either.
Yeah.
So
you have three kidneys.
It wasn't until, and believe it or not, it wasn't until the day of the surgery where they told me it was going to go. I thought they were going to remove both.
Yeah.
Because, like, how are you going to use my femoral artery when my kidneys are up here?
You would have lost, a quarter of a pound, maybe?
So, it actually stays there. It actually just, because, like I said, when we had first went up there and they found out my kidneys already were shriveled. They weren't full size. They were already gone.
Wow.
So like that, even just going back to that, Dr. Bass said, to do a biopsy is looking at a town, and you see a typhoon come. So you see how the town is, a typhoon comes and it hits this tree and it falls on that house and this tin flies over here or whatever. But you can see the massive destruction. And then, of course, the crews come in and clean up and get everything back to normal. He said, when I look at your kidneys, it's basically a sandlot. The storm had already came and there's nothing there. All the debris is gone. There's nothing there to check.
Wow.
So to tell you exactly, to pinpoint what was the one thing or that could be connected with your kidneys failing, there's nothing there for me to diagnose.
Do you have an idea of how long you're like?
Oh, that wasn't me. Sorry for the.
No, you didn't find out. Like, you didn't know that all of this stuff was happening to you, right? Mm-hmm. Until one day, then you learned all of this stuff. I wonder how far back did your body start to, you know, that your
I wonder so much gas. I apologize.
I wonder how far back did your kidneys start to go bad? Was it a course over a year? Oh my god. I swear.
Excuse yourself, DJ. Jeez. Restroom, please.
Well, at the end of this, I'll have a beautiful new security screen door.
Yes.
No, but do you understand what I'm saying? Oh my god! Like you're one day you just you find out your kidneys are useless.
Oh what I wake up to every morning when she's in the restroom.
What?
Oh. Oh, jeez.
Like, okay, one day you find out your kidneys are, they're dead, you know, for lack of a better word. Mm-hmm. But I wonder how long before that. Oh, my God.
No more coffee from that coffee shop.
OMG.
It's getting loud.
What are they doing out there?
Oh, oh. For a screen door, that's a lot of.
I know. Like, how many? Holy shit! Oh my God.
It's every time you talk.
It's every time I talk. Oh. Okay. I don't know. Are they done?
Yeah.
I mean, how much more? How many more holes do you have to screw? Or how many screws? Holy cow.
Okay, I think we're good.
I think they're putting up a safe, not a screen door. Sorry. That's like 15, 14 screws.
No one told me they were going to do welding and actually fashion the screen door before they actually put it on.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Just can't win.
I know. Man, you guys are going to be here till dinner time.
Just can't win.
Yeah. So, Britt's surgery took 2 hours, and then yours took 2 hours also?
Yes, just about.
Did you have any, like, light at the end of the tunnel experience while you were under?
Believe it or not, no. None of that. I think I was even waking up because during the surgery, or when they were pepping me, the anesthesiologist, Dr. Drugs,
Dr. Drugs.
That's all I can remember.
That's like the most obvious name.
Because the way they had laid me on the table, they had made sure I'd secured so that I would not move at all any part of my body. So I needed to be still. So just to be.
So you were strapped in.
To precaution, they had to strap me.
Sure.
With my arms out, my legs, semi in a relaxed position. And they made sure that they didn't cover my hands. So when they put the blanket and they said, if you feel like you're waking up and you just know, just move your fingers. So that they could, hey, we need to give him some more anesthesia to knock him out. They don't want
Dr. Drugs, we need more drugs.
So, great job. Okay, we're going to start to induce you. And I was like, okay. And they say, count. And like, everyone says, count. And that's all I remember. And then I remember.
I started walking after my surgery.
Yeah. During the surgery, I did wake up. I was doing my finger. And so there's one nurse that's right here in my head, because I was facing to the right, and he would notice if I was blinking, and he said, are you waking up? And I would move my finger or like this, and they would give me anesthesia.
They're going to give me the keys to my screen door. Hold on. I'm so sorry.
Don't answer the door.
So you were waking up a little bit during the surgery.
My transplant.
During your transplant, and then they put you back under, and then the next time you woke up, it was done.
I was in my hospital room.
Okay. Did they put you in the same room after that?
No. That's the isolation room. I was in isolation. I had to.
Oh, I see.
I had to have 2 12-hour nurses. I had to be, I guess, overseen for 24 hours. So one would do an AM shift, one would do a PM overnight shift. Mm-hmm. And that would be for 7 days, total isolation. So when I woke up, I remember I was in the bed. Of course, during the transplant, and then when I woke up, I was sitting in a recliner. That's actually one of the things you need. Not your hospital bed. You need to be sitting upright. So the whole thing with where the tubes and everything is located, if you lay down, your fluids will kind of move around, and they don't want it to infect everything else. Because actually, I still had 2 tubes stuck in my side, and that was for drainage for any bleeding, any infection that would set in or anything. It had a way to come out.
And you, Britt, you woke up and you were fine? You didn't feel any?
Yes. The only problem is just I just had fevers, I was having cold sweats, but that's because they're trying to make me move. And that's where I said that I walked not literally after my surgery, but I was able to get up faster than most of the patients than normal.
Made you walk. You had to.
Oh, but you came in that night.
No, I came in the following day.
Following morning.
And I had to cover up everything. I couldn't touch him. I couldn't nothing. I wasn't even able to stay long, but my recovery was faster than normal. It's just because I needed to get better. I needed to make sure.
Oh, yeah. So
I needed to learn how to change.
Why she had to gown up. Gown up. Everybody has to gown up in my room. And the isolation is because they actually literally killed my immune system. Because her kidney is a foreign object to my body. So when you know how the immune system works, anything foreign, your immune system says...
Oh, they didn't want your body attacking.
Right. Yay, there's something that doesn't belong to us. Mm-hmm. Let's go kill it, just like bacteria.
Yeah, right.
So they needed to kill my immune system. So I didn't have any immune system. Someone would sneeze and I would be bad. That's why I was in total isolation.
Like a South American Amazon tribe, like you introduce something foreign to it, and just totally wipes out the tribe.
Yeah. Okay. So they were protecting King Wabba Wabba.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even my nurse would have to be... Everybody that literally
everyone's like in a like full on protect. Mm. Okay,
yeah,
like hazmat kind of.
I felt good because I was the only one that didn't have to put on anything. Yeah. I'm just looking at everybody else.
Nurses were really, really great.
Oh my gosh, my nurses were fantastic. Cindy and
it shows to show you a favorite nurse. You only remember one name.
Who's Cindy? Cindy is our Molly now.
Oh.
I was just gonna say Cindy because Cindy was pregnant when she was one of my nurses and got to know her. And she talked about her family, and she was pregnant. And then she'd asked us to be the godparents for baby AC.
Really?
Yes.
Her first baby.
That's so...
How many does she have now? Seven? No.
Well, like, they were with you for, like, a whole year, right?
No, just
for that...
Oh, just for that... Oh, I thought...
But they were with him. They couldn't leave that room for 12-hour shifts.
Well, that and because, you know, I guess our custom, because there are always... the nurses were always there. We would, of course, take care of their lunch or dinner because there were 12 hours they couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
So we would put out for their, if they were there with breakfast and lunch, and they're there for the evening, their dinner.
So how long after your surgery were you able to come home to Guam?
Immediately.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's where they told me.
That's like DJ's laugh.
So, after your surgery, you came home like the next week. You were
no,
back in Guam.
I stayed a little bit.
Oh, to help Dave.
To help Dave. In May, June, I made a decision to come home early, so I came home July, a month before him, to prep to see him, and not only that, to prep him to go to school and get our house back together because we had to clean the house. Before he came home, you know, it had to be not,
and by clean, you mean it had to be
sterile,
yeah. Right?
Oh, we weren't there for, so take it back to, we weren't there for a year and we just had family drive by to make sure the house was okay. And of course, during that year, we had how many typhoons do we have?
No, we only had one Typhoon Dolphin.
No, but there were some that were closer by.
Oh, no.
That just scathed us. But Typhoon Dolphin's the one that did the damage. Yeah. It had opened up, and because the house was closed, like I said, we're all supposed to go on for three weeks.
Sorry.
No worries.
Yes, they're almost done, guys.
No worries. Yay. Wow, nice screen door, though.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Yay.
Okay, now we can start from the beginning. How long have you guys... When did you guys meet? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so Brittany came home. You stayed for a couple of months after to help Dave. Then you came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Well, I wasn't supposed to come home. I'm not supposed to come home until 6 months after surgery or the transplant.
Okay.
But because Brittany's kidney was size perfect and my body accepted it and things were really going good, they allowed me to come home at 3 months.
Wow.
So instead of staying there 6 months until November 2015, they let me come home August 3rd, 2015.
So you were home in half the time.
Mm-hmm. I was home in half the time. But I would still have to maintain, I'd have to wear a mask on my face, can't take too much dust, I can't be around chemicals.
For how long was that?
Oh, it should be forever.
Oh.
So to where people say, man, I can really smell the exhaust of the bus, I really can't be standing there to smell it. I shouldn't be smelling fumes. Britt used to love to smell gas. Was that gas? What's the Mingilao thing? No, I'm just joking.
No.
No, so basically.
Hey, my Auntie Josie's from Mingilao. Hello.
Yeah, I noticed
that's my village. Are you saying something about my village?
Yeah, you guys gotta move to Jigo. Clean air.
Hello, her house is like right behind my grandma's.
So, No fuels, no contact with chemicals. So like Clorox or anything like that, I would have to wear gloves.
What were the major things that you had to do now that you had this kidney, this new kidney?
Like
the chemical stuff and whatever, but what about like the things you eat? Do you have to change your diet?
I have to change my diet. I can't eat anything raw, no raw stuff. So things that Jamal's love, Kellyglin, yeah, sashimi. Never. I can't, not supposed okay. to.
No sushi.
Can't eat it in its raw form.
Okay.
Vegetables. So we had to learn a lot about vegetables coming over. They're actually coated with a base that really needs to be cleaned. So
is it like a wax base? Or
right.
Something?
It's a wax base.
Yeah. Right. Because
and it actually is, yeah. most of the stuff that come in actually does get sprayed with a little bit of chlorine to keep it and because it's of course it comes from off island, so a lot of it is it's sent over before it's even ripened.
Correct.
Right. So we have shelf life. So yeah, chemicals. Can't eat things. I have a little bit of a gout diet.
Mm-hmm.
Can't eat asparagus, cauliflower.
No raw foods.
Spinach, not too much spinach. No raw foods. They even tell me rice is better the day after, if at all possible. Things have to be well done, basically cooked or burnt.
So no medium rare steak.
No more medium rare.
Oh, man.
Right. So I have to make her stand in the sun for at least 24 hours before I can kiss her. Yeah. Because the raw lips is just quite hazardous to the health.
My auntie.
We have a son. I'm sure she knows we kiss.
Well, I thought he was adopted.
Yeah.
Because you guys are like, you're getting married next month, right? So, Brittany, you know, you've been saving yourself for marriage all this time, right?
Yeah.
I know.
See? He saw that.
And so that's forever. Your lifestyle is different. And for you, Brittany, is it the same?
No.
Yours is completely different because you don't have a foreign kidney. You just have one less kidney.
Mm-hmm. But I live normal. I don't have any restricted diet. Nothing. The last thing they told me was go back to normal. But of course, any typical person, just watch what you eat.
Well, that's what she's, well, yes, that's 90% right.
Mm-hmm. What's the other 10%?
When she sleeps. You can ask DJ. Does it sound like wolves howling or something when she sleeps, DJ? Yes. Flex her tongue.
And do you have to go get checked every
year?
Every year you have to go back to St. Luke's or yes. you can get it done here?
Well, before there was a physician here who's no longer with us. He had moved to a different practice off island. But where it comes is Dr. Cabral, who took care of me, my nephrologist in the Philippines, and the doctor that used to be here were classmates in college. So that was one of the reasons why I was able to come home. So if I needed to do my blood work or my test, Dr. Cabral would contact him and they would communicate on my patient basis. And they would talk like, okay, these are what's going on. So let's do this. So that's how we would keep in contact through this physician. Now he's gone. So I would have to more likely go back to the Philippines.
Okay.
But he allowed that because things were going good.
Were there any complications after the surgeries?
No. Oh, just that he's producing too much blood. My kidney's producing too much blood.
He's got a big-ass kidney now.
And remember, Dr. Cabral's like, David, you need to donate blood because he was producing too much. My kidney was producing too much blood for him.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was, I've never
heard
of
that. That was our shock, too.
But I'm saving the world from her blood, so I'm not donating yet. I mean, I have to save the world.
So, like, every now and then, I mean, when he does go in, they'll tell us that if he has to go in and they have to take blood from him and stuff. And my kidney is still strong 3 years later.
Oh, hopefully it goes a lifetime forever. Mm-hmm. DJ the door.
So has it affected you at work? You're still with the fire department? Are there things now that you're limited to what you can and cannot do?
Well, not my kidney, but other health issues have come up in the forefront that doesn't allow me to go out in the field as I want to. So I have to deal with it in another capacity. I work in the office under the EMS and training bureau, having to deal with a few off-island programs that the firefighters do need on island, updating certificates. So soon, if everything goes well and I'm able to get back out in the field, I will.
Hmm. And for you, Britt, it's just life as usual. I mean, it's
party.
Pretty normal.
Yeah.
You can drink alcohol. Yes. That's all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Not a good idea. No alcohol, children. No alcohol.
He can have one beer, but that's about it.
No.
Yeah.
Me, it just...
And Dr. Cabral said it, yes. You know what? He recommends you don't, but if you need to, because I told him it's more for special occasions.
Mm.
New Year's, he goes, oh, that's not a problem. He says, don't indulge. He goes, I'll give you a one glass, two glass limit and one beer. That's it. But I don't take advantage of it. I don't really drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, a lot of water. And one of the biggest things is we learned about how much sugars are in different drinks. Like when I was doing dialysis, they would tell me, you know, you can drink Gatorade because you're cramping up so much. But now that I'm past that, we learned Mr. Brown, Gatorade, Mountain Dew, all these other things have so much sugar. So no sugars. So I basically drink water or...
So your diet in general is low sugar?
Yes. So like I said, I have every bit of every diet from high cholesterol to gout to cardiac patient. It's a little bit of everything. Just got to monitor it and a lot of water. Because they want to keep the kidney hydrated. Hmm. They don't want it to get dehydrated. They want you to urinate. So because of the location to the bladder, they don't want it to go back and infect the kidney. So by flushing out, you're continuously moving that fluid. So drink a lot of water. A lot of water. I see.
And so now it's 3 years later and you guys are getting married next month. How did you propose?
Oh, I was sleeping. And you were... She came over and she's like, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm sleeping. And she said, okay, we're getting married. I said, okay.
No, my mom had a soccer game. My dad went to Macy's to get a ring.
DJ seems to know this story.
I know, sure.
Wait,
before.
Come stand next to your mom and talk into the microphone.
We went to Macy's before. We went to the soccer game. We were looking at rings. And while doing the game, I stayed with my mom. My dad went to Macy's to get the rings. After the game, we got into the car. My dad took out the, he bought so many rings for my mom.
Like so many, how many?
I don't know. I didn't see the bag.
Oh.
So my dad took out another ring. My mom was in shock because she said that's the wrong ring. she said it's gold. She said, it looks gold. And the ring that they're going to buy is silver. So they looked into the bag, trying to find the receipt. My mom was looking in the bag. She was in shock that she found more than one ring. And that's how they proposed.
Oh, so you tricked her, kind of.
Yeah.
Oh. Drugs wasn't working.
I see. And you guys on top. So wait, when's your wedding day?
December 2nd.
December 2nd. I got the invitation. I thought it was this month.
I was so like,
yeah. And you're also in the process of building your house. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What phase are you in the house?
So in the preliminary build stage, I see out of, let's say you give it numbers 10, we're right at number 9, 9.5.
So you mean from starting from 10 and working down to 1?
No. So the first stage is you got to find a person who's able to provide you a loan. And step two, you got to provide all these things. So out of where we are prior to them, ready, set, go, start digging and whatever you need to do.
Oh, okay.
We're right at the last phase.
Okay.
Before groundbreaking.
Okay, so you bought land.
No.
Or you have land.
No, I have land.
You have land.
What you do is you set up some stuff on people's property and then you just tell them you own
it. No, because that's one of the things, you know, you're not going to marry a man who doesn't have land, right?
I got this one.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it's for?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jeez. Oh, ours has a hydrant and a bus stop. So we're deluxe level.
Oh. Yeah, so we've been really busy. I mean,
oh yeah, I mean, I think we've tried to like work our schedules around to get you in here all this time, and I feel so bad because now that I finally got you in here, we had all of this noise. So does Brittany ever play the "I gave you a kidney" card, so you have to do what I say?
Oh, yes.
Like,
but you know, I do
like with wedding. I was like, I'm thinking like the wedding planning and then the house planning, like, you know. Brittany's like, I want 3 stories. And Dave is like, no, I just want 1 story, 2 at the moment.
Oh, let's hear your honesty.
And then Brittany says, you know, I gave you a kidney. I'm a hero. I saved your life.
Yes. And that is true. And I'm not going to fight it. But see, there's the difference. She can tell me something and I could believe it. I tell her something and it's like, oh, whatever. So yeah, she gave me a kidney, no doubt. I lived to be with my kids. But let's go back before she gave me a kidney. I gave her my heart first.
A day.
So if, no. So people say corny. I'll say it myself, corny. A day. But as God is my witness, Britt can attest to it, and just to him, all that I've been through. And if I didn't have heart, then we wouldn't be sitting here today. So it does have meaning, and mm-hmm. It's for everybody to take what they want. But yes, we're almost done. The house. Can I just do it the way I do it in the car? All right, this is my house. I don't care. This is my house. But what is it that you want to put in the house? How do you want the house? Yes, she's done the plan. She chose the layout. And we agreed on it.
I think even the wedding planning, we're not stressing about it.
No, it's on her.
Yeah. It's just just making sure the logistic part. But other than that, it's what you told my mom. We're simple. Keep it simple.
Well, I can't imagine a wedding, planning a wedding or even building a house to be remotely as close to being as stressful as the experience that you went through to get the kidney, to give the kidney for Dave to get the kidney. You know what I mean? I imagine that is the most stress that you guys have ever experienced in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. So. Very stressful. So now I'm learning to be patient. I'm learning. Trying, but yeah.
But that's such a great story. I just think it's so unique in that the kidney that you needed was literally with you that whole time. Yeah, she may have your heart, but you literally have her kidney.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that, you know what? And yeah, I even told her the one big thing that people don't understand is, we I think the thing is, she says she's negative, but I think it's both positive most times, because even it was literally 2 days, I think, 2 or 3 days before we actually went into surgery. We basically laid it on the table. We put it on the floor, like, heavyweight fight, cuss words and finger pointing and selfishness. This is in the condo.
Oh, okay.
Because I was still firm that, hey, you're going to do this, then I'll keep it frank and straight. I said, I'll be fine. Just get me home to my kids, and if I die, then I die. I'm okay. And we laid it out. We had everything in God's will. We are where we are today with his blessing.
What a wonderful, remarkable story. I love it.
Aww.
What a long story.
I never knew this how to
knit. Excuse my child.
But thank you so much for coming and sharing that with me, because I think that the kidney that you needed was with you the whole time. And then they bring this kidney out, and it's this big ass kidney that was made for your body.
Should I tell that what I told Dr. Bell?
What?
How your kidney became such?
Why? No. Hello, my child is here.
No. Yes, I have a weird sense of humor. Even Doc said, for a guy who's supposed to be dead, he has a pretty good sense of humor. He's always positive. I said, I always try to be Doc. I don't try to look on the negative. It's either you move forward with it or...
So who's, in general, who is the positive one and who is the more negative one? David, you're usually the more positive one, and Brittany, you're the more negative one. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, though, that when you were going through that, the roles reversed.
Yes.
Then you became the more
positive one.
But I think in relationships, you have to be like that, because you're not always going to be both be up at the same level.
Right. But even when we had to sign the documentation, and I got a copy of it 3-4 years ago when I went back for St. Luke. When was the last time? 2 years ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was able to receive the actual documents, and when they were just like, sign here, sign here. So there's one document that she drew up saying that what I would have to give her for my kidney. And I didn't know that I had signed it.
He lies.
What was it, David, that she...
Build a house and tell her I love her.
You're so full of it.
Try and be happy around people.
You're so full of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that sounds like a fair trade. I give you a kidney. I save your life. You can live a long, healthy life. And in return, I get a house. Mm-hmm. I get a car. I get all of this and that. I get the wedding of my dreams.
Well, no.
Just kidding.
No, that's the true part. Yes, because we definitely both want to get married. Ultimately, me, maybe because this is how I was raised and how I was brought up. I guess the word now is tradition, culture. Once we're done with this big event, change in our life with the house, and we are going to get married in church, I do want to bring it into God's house, and I do want to receive his blessing. Mm-hmm. So that's me. Mm-hmm. And for her, it's a bond that's been long in coming, and I see where she's coming from. So whatever it takes to keep her happy, then I'll do. and the man upstairs will provide. So we should be okay.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much for coming over and sharing your story. Where can people follow you, Brittany, on social media?
Instagram, Facebook.
What's your Instagram name?
_ Belazama.
_ is the first thing?
Mm-hmm.
_ Belazama. Mm-hmm. DJ, you have an Instagram too, right?
Yes.
I think. What's your Instagram name?
DJ_Flores08.
Okay. Okay.
Sounded like I was trying to ask you out for the first date. DJ, go out.
Oh, it's kind of funny you say Instagram, because I think DJ wants to ask you something. When we were, he likes to be nosy when I watch my
mukbang.
Not only mukbang, but like the storylines, and he sees a dinosaur. And he's explaining what's
Hayato. Oh my goodness. That's my trainer. And he likes to do stupid things like that. Yeah. Yeah. David, are you on social media?
Yes.
What's your Instagram name?
6481091347. Yeah.
No.
You can tell the difference of age.
Super.
I'm like, what do you have to look for?
Isn't it supersonic?
I don't know. Supersonic. I have. So there's a story behind that name. Yeah, no, it's not the song. It had to do with
work. That's the supersonic
song. His work gave him that name. Supersonic.
Why? Why is supersonic your name?
It's an inside thing. Just responding. Every area covers everybody. But I guess when you're a few units are out consistently, and literally, I'm not joking, sometimes you don't set up your bedding to go to sleep.
Mm.
Sometimes you don't even sit at the station for not even three meals because you're so busy on the road of patients. And you communicate with those other units that are out there when they're responding. Of course, when they're responding and they're done with the hospital drop-offs, we communicate on the radio. So sometimes it's like, oh, here we go again. Okay, roll out. I'm like, yeah, okay, supersonics responding. Kind of like...
Oh, like the old CB days?
The old CB days.
Oh. So do you even know what that is, Brittany?
No,
I
don't.
You're not even 30 yet. Yeah. You don't know what CB is? Yeah, get out of here. Get out of my house.
I was trying to convince her that, you know what, the age difference, but I'll show you what they used to do traditionally, like... You're supposed to massage me every night from 5 to 9:30. If I drool, you're supposed to wipe it. And then after my back for 3 hours, you got to do my feet for an hour each. She doesn't believe that was a tradition, so I'm still trying to sell it to her.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Oh, wait. How long after your transplant surgery were you able to go back to work?
Now it's just on
He went the following week.
Back to work, like full time. Yeah.
Well, let's get something straight. I don't call it work. I even tell kids when we talk to kids. No, I don't call it a job. And this is all sincerity. I call it a career. I said, when kids say, "What was the difference?" I say, "Well, a job is, you know, you got to wake up. Oh, I got to go to work. I can't believe it. What time is lunch? Or oh, it's not even 5 o'clock yet. I got to get home." Me, a career is something you can't wait to do. Mm. And even though they tell you you're off, you still don't mind putting in that extra time just to keep everybody else. And doing what you love to do. Mm-hmm. And, I come from career firefighters. So, and we always say you're bred into this career. You can apply, but you'll soon find out who's made for it and who wasn't.
Yeah.
So I call it my career. So.
Yeah, he went to work. He arrived on a weekend because his family and, had thrown a surprise welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 days or 4 days. He went back to work.
I went back to work.
Wow.
I was supposed to go work to work until like November. Mm. But August 3rd, and I came back the following week. I was like, yeah, let's do this.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I have that picture of his first day back to work.
I look good. I'm just joking.
But congratulations on your engagement. Thank you, and Jessica. Your house.
See you, see you there.
Yeah, December 2nd.
Julian.
December 2nd. Yes, Julian will be there. Sorry, he couldn't be here today.
We're going to tell him, right? Because you got to tell all the guests, right? Okay. So when you come into the festivities.
You have to wear a mask?
No. When you come into the festivities, the women are on the left side.
Oh.
The men are on the right side.
Is this like an Iglesia Ni Cristo kind of thing?
No.
I think they do that, right, at their churches.
I don't even know.
I've heard that they make you sit on there's a men's side and a women's side. There's like even an entrance for the different.
Wow.
No,
that's what I heard.
Yeah, that's not me. I don't know. Okay.
So you're just joking.
So the men can look across and see how much we've been following the rules of men are superior, and then we look across and, man, we aren't really superior.
Right.
Because yeah, I've even told, they're going to put a nameplate where I'm supposed to sit. And she's going to tell them what food to put on my plate. So I'm not supposed to say that.
Oh, because, yeah, you have a special diet, yeah?
No, because she just wants to control everything. You better walk in like this. Jeez. Okay, I will. Smile.
Yeah. Brittany, your husband, your future husband.
And this is every day. So it's not like we have people with his personality. This is it at home. And it's, you
know,
like.
No, but I love it.
People say it's a wedding. It never gets boring.
Because, say it's a wedding, but I always tell. Well, for me, when they should ask, I said, you know what? Really, whatever. I don't know, in my own heart, whatever she wants. There's a couple of things that I want her to do. And she's like, I don't know why. I said, because. And this is where I put my foot down. She can. But when it's time for me, I said, yes. And she said, well, why? I said, because I want to show you off. This is your day. That's just what I want. Mm-hmm. It's nothing to do with me. It's her. But I don't want. I said, I don't care. This is what I want. You need to do this.
Well, I'm excited to come and see your wedding next month, and then to come to your house when it's all done next year sometime.
Of course. Whoop,
whoop. Wait, you guys are moving to Jigo?
We've been staying there.
Oh, where are you building your house?
When Jigo? You pass Payless, the third bus stop. It's right in front of that's where we stay, the bus stop.
Like near Homai?
Past Homai. Yeah, we got moved. We get relocated from that area.
Well, thank you so much again for coming by. And I'll see you next month at your wedding.
Yay!
Thank you. That's the episode. Thank you to David, Brittany, and Donovan Flores for coming by for Happy Hour. This episode was actually recorded in November, and David and Brittany got married in December, just last month, so they're on their honeymoon now. Congratulations to them. Thank you also to Rotten Apple for sponsoring today's episode, and thank you, listener, for sticking it out to the end. You're my favorite. Let me know what you think about this episode. My email address is happyhour@latitude13.com. And you can find me on social media as Latitude13 on Instagram and Twitter. I'm Josie Moyer. I'll see you next time.